You're not supposed to take any home because it's all you can eat, but people, they try to smuggle a box out of there, Stevie. You can't do that. Now, come on. Because I think the message is getting through to left, which what you're doing isn't working. After three nights, any guest starts to smell, and you got to get the hell out of there.
Buccaneers fans, here he is, the sage of Tampa Bay sports, the Baron of Big Storm Beer, Mr. Bill Curry Ford himself, the king of Newport Richie, Uncle Ira, the custodian of Canton, on the NFL beat since 1963. This is the Ira Kaufman Podcast, episode 2 of this week. Episode 1, Ira, is available to everybody at joebucksfan.com, Apple Podcasts, Podbean, Podcast Addict, all kinds of platforms. And all the fun is presented by Bill Curry Ford, home of the nationwide lifetime warranty on new and used vehicles. Bill Curry Ford, a mile north of the stadium on Dale Mabry Highway, a Tampa tradition for 62 years, Ira, that you bought your first car on opening day of Bill Curry Ford back then. Remember that?
I love dealing with those people, whether it's getting an oil change, dealing with Sean Sullivan on my way back from a Bucks practice just to chat with him about the Bucks. And Steve, they're getting more inventory at Bill Curry Ford, mile north of the stadium, east side of Dale Mabry. Inventory's growing over there, Steve, so there's some great deals to be had.
And the fun thing is, right now, your son is negotiating on purchasing a new truck, angling that Ira Kaufman discount. And
he's trying to get the best deal for himself. Sean's working with him. I think it's going to have a happy ending, if I may use that expression. On a family podcast, Mr. Isbitt?
You can use the expression only because Robert Kraft got married last week.
There you go. And who is there front and center? Mr. Brady.
Of course, Bill Curry Ford. $500 is what they're giving you. Sean Sullivan's handing it to you just for ordering a new vehicle. No deposit required. BillCurryFord.com. The weekend's here, Ira. I know you'll be gorging yourself on fried fish. You got some big plans for that. And I hope you wash it down with a Big Storm beer. Big Storm Brewery, locally brewed. Tap rooms in Odessa, Clearwater, the flagship location. Gorgeous live music at both locations. And, of course, in Cape Coral and in Orlando at the Amway Center. But Big Storm beer, the Bromosa, the Tropic Pressure, Florida Ale, they're all in the local stores. Wavemaker Amber Ale, whatever it might be. So many great beers. Big Storm beer. Make it Big Storm beer this weekend. Bring it to a party. You'll be the hit of the party for sure. Sunny Key Limes, they got so many greats. BigStormBrewery.com. Lee DeCamper, of course, is here with us. And we're going to keep it lean and mean. But I got to ask you this, Ira, before we talk about the game. You know, the Panthers, the Bucs are catching them at just the right time. They traded Christian McCaffrey for a, you said he wouldn't get two first-round picks, Ira. They gave up second, third, and fourth rounders did San Francisco in next year's draft and a fifth round pick in 2024 to get McCaffrey. We know Robbie Anderson was already traded, and now Friday morning news is breaking that DJ Moore is expected to be gone pretty soon. So they're really cleaning house there, Ira. What does this say for the Bucs?
Steve, I'd like to read a lot into it, but I just saw a game where DJ Watt didn't play, Minka Fitzpatrick, three cornerbacks, and somehow the Bucs stumbled their way to a loss. Now, Steve, let's be honest. McCaffrey hasn't done much against the Bucs since Todd Bowles arrived as the D coordinator. He's had a very good defensive plan against McCaffrey, who's had a good year this year, and he's going to help the 49ers. So the 49ers are all in, and the Panthers are all out. I mean, they're dying for that first pick, and, you know, that owner is antsy. He wants to be relevant. The defense isn't bad, Steve. It's not bad. They got some good young players, but they got a pop gun offense with McCaffrey. I can't imagine what they're doing without him. DJ Moore isn't long for Charlotte. He's going to be gone in the next week or two. So what does it mean for the Bucs on Sunday? I think it makes Bowles' job a little bit easier because whoever they replace McCaffrey with just isn't going to be as versatile as he's been this season. He's been healthy, and he's been productive.
Sage, I wanted to bring this up because it comes from a Bucs fan, a former Bucs player, a lifelong Bucs fan, and a guy who's a very astute observer. Sean King jumped on national radio this week, and now he works full-time for VSiN, the gambling network. He jumped on a CBS show this week, and they asked him about the Bucs, and he said Tampa looks like they're a little older. And he said, quote, they look like the guys have a lot more money. And he said that hunger, he's not saying it's not there, that they're not hungry, but he just doesn't really see it right now. And it doesn't look like it did 2 years ago. What do you make of that? And if do you believe that's accurate? And if it is accurate, what does it say about the head coach?
Well, Steve, it's an intangible. And I don't think Sean King is necessarily off base here. I watched that Pittsburgh game very closely. Steve, I saw a home team that was very excited. Young guys trying to make a splash. A lot of energy. And then I looked at the visitors, Steve, and it looked like a day at the office. Looked like a job. I don't see a lot of joy right now with the Buccaneers. Maybe that comes with when you lose three out of your last four games, Steve. Maybe. But I don't think it's too much, Steve, to ask for a little passion. You make a good play on defense. I want to see, some camaraderie. I don't see it. There's the old adage that a team takes on the personality of its coach. We'll see about that. A couple of wins would solve that, Steve, and we wouldn't be talking about it. But right now, Sean King is a former player. He's keyed in on these intangibles. The body language doesn't look good, Steve. It just doesn't. And of course, neither does the production.
Too early to point a finger at Todd Bowles on that? Do we need to wait for half a season to start coming down on him for a lack of hunger? And even Bowles admitted that the Bucs have a toughness issue.
Well, Bowles referred to it himself with a Super Bowl hangover, which was a very interesting comment, Steve, considering that half the starters weren't around in 2020. There's been an overhaul here in Tampa, unlike last year. So I don't know how appropriate that is. I don't think Buck fans are asking too much, Steve, to see a team that's flying around, that enjoys what they're doing, and is showing some enthusiasm. I don't think that's too much. Now, Steve, they have not played a complete game. They haven't scored more than 21 points, Steve, except for one game against the Chiefs when they were throwing the ball all over the field and they were never going to win that game once the first quarter ended. Can you imagine, Steve? 5 out of 6 games, you've scored 21 points or less. And, Steve, here's one more thing that jumps out at me, and I don't think we can emphasize this too much. They have 15 field goals, 1-5. And they've got 10 offensive touchdowns. That ratio's out of whack, Steve. Way out of whack from what we've seen here since Brady arrived. Because you remember me saying many, many times on these podcasts the last 2 years, this team scores touchdowns. When the Bucs were bad, which they've been for a long, long time, before number 12 came to town, they kicked field goals instead of touchdowns. It was a losing proposition. You can't win 3 points at a time. And Steve, through 6 weeks, that's exactly what they're doing.
So, Lee, what's your take? Again, that quote from Sean King saying that Tampa does look like they're older. They look like guys have a lot more money. And the hunger, while he says it may not be gone, it doesn't look like it. You don't see that hunger and fire when they're playing.
I don't doubt that. And this is interesting. And I'm not going to name names because I want, number one, I don't want to be wrong. Number two, I don't want to have guys pissed off at me and not talk to me and have to deal with their nonsense. Now, granted, we haven't been in a locker room for 2 years. This is the first time we've been there since Jameis was there. And I've noticed a change in attitude of players. Noticed it in training camp. Noticed it this week. I've just noticed it. Some guys aren't nearly as cooperative as the other guy, as they used to be. One guy in particular who's a stud player, he seems kind of standoffish now. It's almost like some personalities, not everybody, but some personalities, especially some key figures, seems like their personalities have changed. It's like, they're confident, yeah, but a little bit cocky, like, hey, I got a ring, who are you? I've just noticed a change with a few players. They treat us different, they talk different. There's just a different vibe about them. And I'm not saying that's negative, but Sean King very well could be onto something.
I think just the almost human nature. I think players realized in the last couple of years without media in the locker room, like, hey, we don't need the media. We don't need them at all. Everything ran just fine without them. And you know what? If I have a message to get out there, I can put it out myself on social media better than anybody else can in the media for me. And, having that reinserted back into the whole weekly grind of the NFL, I think some guys, not all, but I think some guys are, like you said, who are you? I don't need you around here.
There's two guys, a starter on each side, very good players. I have nothing against them. This is not a knock on them. They used to be the most cooperative, friendly guys And I'm not saying they're nasty, but it's like, hey, you got a second to talk? No. Maybe get me tomorrow. No. And they never, ever did that. You know, I don't care if a guy wants to talk to me or not. It doesn't bother me. I prefer that he does, but if he doesn't, so what? But I've just noticed that. And they know they have their ring. Let's put it that way.
I'm going to name a name, Lee, because I noticed it before the locker rooms were open and in training camp. And I just straight up brought it up to the guy in Tennessee and asked him about it. Now, that conversation was private. I was just curious if there was something that had been bothering him with the media or why his attitude seemed to have changed. And he talked to me about it. It was one-on-one, no microphone, but that's Mike Evans. And I don't know if that's who you're referring to, but I think...
No, Mike's always been cool with me and in my perception. You might be slightly right, but he's a good dude. I was talking to him. I was talking to him this week. We were just BS,
sure.
You know, I wasn't asking him anything on the record. He was really cool with me, but a little bit I've noticed that. I remember, for example, the Pro Bowl. He didn't want to talk to any media, and again, that's his right. But I've noticed that. I've noticed that with Mike, and I'm not. And I love Mike. So you know, it's like his priorities have changed. It's like, you know what? I got to worry about my football. I'll talk to these guys eventually.
All right, Lee, so you were live and in person at One Buck. You know, it's been a crazy week in the world of the Bucks that we're not used to since the Tom Brady era arrived. What was your takeaway from hearing Leftwich and Brady and just guys in the locker room? Did any sort of things stand out to you?
I sense for the first time in 3 years, people are pressing Byron Leftwich about his play calling. And I'm not saying no one has ever asked him about that, but I know, you know, I'm raising my hand in 2019, maybe about 4 or 5 games into the season, I asked him about running up the middle all the time, and I was armed with data that showed how many times he ran up the middle, and they were getting nowhere on the ground. And I asked him if he was tipping pitches because the defenses were expecting him to run up the middle on first down. He just glared at me and barked no and took the next question from someone else. I've been on this for 3 years, and it was refreshing to see, and I guess how could you not? It was so glaring from that Pittsburgh game. It was refreshing to see people pressing Leftwich. And of course, Leftwich, he did a really good job of dancing. If he still thinks he's another head coaching candidate somewhere, if that owner values dancing in a press conference, he got some brownie points there. Because he just basically kept repeating his stock non-answer. I do what I do to try to win ball games, to put us in the best position to win ball games. Yeah. And I also like his answer about how they won't use Tristan Wirfs. They won't run behind Tristan Wirfs. And that's another pet peeve. If you believe the left side of the Bucks offensive line is terrible, left which keeps running there, why wouldn't you take your best running back and run behind your best offensive lineman, which is Wirfs? And he was asked that, and he's like, no logic.
Well, I think the main theme from Leftwich, which has been a season-long proclamation, is that he has all the confidence in the world in these players and his fellow coaches. I'm taking that with a grain of sand on St. Petersburg Beach. I mean, what the heck else is Byron Leftwich going to say? When you're under siege, when your offense looks unimaginative, when your quarterback looks like he doesn't want to be there most of the time, this one's on Leftwich, Steve. There's no getting around it. You know, you ask Bowles if he's monkeying around with the offense, the answer is quick and firm. Absolutely not. You know, I don't blame Bowles at this point. If he was interfering, we'd be all over Bowles. What the heck are you doing? If you don't like your offense coordinator, get rid of him. No, this is on Byron Leftwich. I'd like to see him own up a little bit to take a little more personal responsibility. I got to do a better job. I got to be more imaginative. I got to find a way to get us into the end zone. We've got the greatest quarterback of all time, and we've got 10 touchdowns in 6 weeks. That's on me.
Sage, you mentioned in your column, you know, you rolled out the numbers very nicely, that the balance of the offense, the sort of the attack plan is pretty much the same as far as same number of passes per game. The issue is the yards per attempt, and of course the running game is the most glaring drop off. And the consensus around One Buck, and of course you could always say, what else are they going to say? But the consensus is, hey, the plays are there. The plays are on point. We're just not executing. Of course, most teams say that, but not all. But it seems like they really believe that they got it right. They're just not firing on all cylinders.
Well, Steve, we have to admit something through 6 weeks. This is not the offense we've seen for 2 years. It's not. The passes are short. Fournette leads the team in targets. He leads the team in receptions. You know, and he's averaging 7 yards a catch, which is respectable for a running back. But it's not going to get you downfield quickly. Steve, how could Scotty Miller be averaging 9 yards a catch? I mean, that's unconscionable. Godwin, 11. It's not good enough. It's just not good enough. And with the rules the way they are, Steve, everything's, you know, to promote offense. Everybody knows it. They have refrained from testing teams downfield. I don't really understand it. You know my philosophy. I'm not backing away from it. Throw 6 deep balls. You'll complete 1 or 2, and you'll get 2 flex. I mean, I'm sticking with it, Steve. I'm sticking with it. And I have not seen that. And I don't want to hear again how Evans doesn't have any speed and he's not a burner. Throw him a 35-yard pass down the sidelines and let's see what happens. All of a sudden, Godwin can't run. Maybe he's not 100%, Steve, but he's not a plotter. Test these guys downfield. I think we're going to see it in Charlotte as soon as Sunday, because I think the message is getting through to Leftwich. What you're doing isn't working.
Hey, Ira, do you think this is anything? And maybe you've noticed it and I just haven't. I talked to Lee about this previously, and I've also talked to our photographer. You know, Joe Bucks fan, he's not a personality on the website, but we have our photographer who is a keen eye, and he knows the Bucks very well, likes the Bucks, so it's not like he doesn't know what he's looking at or looking for. Have you ever seen, Ira, Todd Bowles interact with Tom Brady? I haven't. I don't have any photos of it, and I don't see it on television, and I just haven't seen it through training camp, etc. And have you seen it? And if not, does that strike you as a little bit strange?
I have not seen it. And yes, I believe it is a little bit strange. And I don't think that would necessarily translate to Todd Bowles interfering with the Bucs offense. He's your best player. He's your most important player. And what's wrong with going over and having a chat with him? There's nothing wrong with it during the heat of a battle. Steve, one thing that jumped out at me, and maybe I'm making too much about it, you tell me. The interview with Mike Evans at his locker, and all of a sudden, out of the blue, and this is not anything Jenna Lane brought up or Lee DeKemper or Stroud or Allman or Sarah Walsh or anybody else, Steve. All of a sudden.
Can I read your mind here? Can I read your mind here, Ira? Can I read your mind?
Go ahead.
He mentioned that he misses Gronk.
That's what I'm saying. That's where I'm going, Steve. He mentioned that he misses Gronk. That's important, Steve. That's telling. It came out of nowhere. And, Steve, I have the audacity to say I think he was talking about Gronk, the personality, as much as Gronk, the Hall of Famer. That's the way I read it. He exudes confidence. He never gets flustered, Gronkowski. He keeps things light. And they miss it. And for Evans to evoke Gronkowski's name when he wasn't asked about him, Steve, and I really don't think Gronk's coming back. You tell me. I think it's unlikely. Buck fans are dying for the guy. They'll probably put up a fund to give him another $5 million if they can. But, Steve, that was a telling remark.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that, Ira. It struck me. I had to rewind it when I saw the tape. A week ago, I was telling you on this podcast that even though it was just a one-off silly thing, when Tom Brady was asked who's the best pickleball player on the roster, he mentioned Gronk would be. And he's like, well, he's, you know, he's not here. But I mean, there's Gronk on the mind, and I think there's an undercurrent of they really miss this guy in more ways than one.
You know, he's a larger than life figure, Steve. Everybody knows that. That's why he's making $1 zillion in endorsements, Steve. That's why the networks are climbing over each other to try to get the guy in the broadcast booth.
Like you, Ira. Like you.
He's a natural, Steve. He's a natural, larger than life. He's got a very calming and soothing influence in the locker room because you go out there, hey, this guy's on our side. We've got this guy. We have an edge over other teams. He's here. And now he's not, Steve. And we know the problems at tight end. I'm not going to pick on Kate Otten. He's doing okay. Kyle Rudolph's been a bust, Steve. He's not the only addition that's been a bust. We're waiting for Julio Jones to make a play since week one. I'm still waiting. Steve, if they're trying to save him for week 16, you know, that might be too long. They could be the fourth seed or they could be, in trouble in the playoffs. I don't think so. But at some point, I'd like to see Julio Jones on the field.
Well, Sage, unlike Julio Jones, Florida's Elite Restoration is there for you 24/7. They answer the bell. You call them up if you have a disaster in your home or your business, flood, fire, mold, wind, storm damage, whatever it might be, and they're going to respond, and they're going to come out and give you a free assessment in your property of what's going on, what's happening. And they'll tell you about how they can work with your insurance company to make sure you don't get ripped off. Florida's Elite Restoration, fantastic local company. And again, they're reliable, honest. You know them, Sage. And our listeners get $500 off if they use Florida's Elite Restoration. You just, after you get your free assessment or when you call them, say, hey, I heard about you at Joe Bucks Fan, Ira Kaufman, and they're going to give you $500 back. Maybe that's money you use toward your deductible on an insurance claim, or just $500 off a restoration service. Florida's Elite Restoration, just as soon as you call them up, you tell them, hey, I heard about them at Joe Bucks Fan, Ira Kaufman podcast. Great stuff. Great people, Ira.
No question about it, Steve. You know, I had a couple of friends that were named Shifty. I didn't want to deal with those people. So I'm looking for somebody that I can put my faith in. Just like when I found you and Lee. It was like an oasis in the desert, Steve.
Florida's ElitRestoration.com. They're not an oasis in the desert. They're there for you 24/7. And you can find them easily, unlike Shifty and me and Lee. Florida's ElitRestoration.com. Ira, you know, Sage, I'm going to throw it out to Lee, what we talked about before with your column, because those numbers were really good. I'll reset it. The Bucks this year, they're throwing 42 times a game. 41 times a game. Last year was 42. Brady's struggling. They're not completing as many deep passes. And the biggest difference is the running game. Last year, 4.3 yards a carry. Now they're at 3.1, barely, if you round up. So, I mean, you could sort of say that the system is the same. It's just that they're not taking the shots, and they haven't changed the formula completely, was Ira's point.
And that goes back to Leftwich. If it's not working, why haven't you changed it? Why haven't you adjusted?
Exactly.
I mean, only a crazy person keeps repeating the same mistakes. You know, we were talking earlier about making adjustments and scheming on the offensive line, and a perfect example of that was the loss to the Rams in the playoffs. The first half, the Bucks' offensive line was getting manhandled. Absolutely manhandled. We know Wirfs wasn't playing. Josh Wells was getting abused. Donovan Smith was getting abused by Von Miller. Well, what happened by the second half? They adjusted, the Bucks did, and they mounted nearly a rally for the ages. So the fact that the Bucks aren't adjusting end game, much less week to week, again, that's on Leftwich. I'm not saying you should pass. I'm saying whatever the hell works, you use it. And you keep going to it until they stop you. If that's the pass, great. If that's the run, great. Whatever works. Whatever works. I just don't think that Leftwich has been able to find what works consistently. Now, to Leftwich's credit, you know, the Bucks have been injury prone. Mike Evans has been out, you know, with suspension. So he really hasn't had his full repertoire, so to speak, of weapons consistently. So I get that. And I got, while I'm thinking of it, I got to get this out of the way. I'm sick of hearing about January. Oh, Julio Jones has to, we got to make sure he's ready for January. Oh, we got to make sure this guy's ready for the long haul. Worry about freaking now, because if you don't start worrying about now, in January you're going to be in tow-em, not preparing for a playoff game. Start worrying about now. Forget January.
Yeah, that loss to the Steelers, I think, should have changed everybody's perspective on that. But, you know, we're going to find that out going forward, especially on the Thursday night game after this Sunday. But, hey, they got to win this Sunday. We're going to get to the picks in a little bit. You know, I think to wrap it up on Leftwich, I agree with what Russell Gage said this week, that this is all a very different conversation. You know, essentially, you know, if he doesn't fumble against the Packers and he doesn't drop a touchdown against the Steelers, hey, you know, all of a sudden everybody's happy again. It doesn't change the reality, but, you know, you mentioned something about that last podcast. You know, if you lose, all this stuff gets magnified, and that's what we've been looking at.
Steve, you know what's been a little bit depressing also, but besides the scoreboard through 6 weeks?
You can't get a good bagel in Newport Richey, is that it?
No, Steve, the vast majority, Steve, of the off-season acquisitions, including the rookie class, and I don't want to pick on them too much because they're young. But I'm talking about the veteran additions, Julio Jones, Kyle Rudolph, Akeem Hicks. We haven't seen too much from Keanu Neal. Logan Ryan's banged up. Right now, you know, you get a grade of D right now. I mean, bordering on F. Is it that shocking, Steve? I mean, these guys are 31, 32, 33. When they have an injury, they don't respond as well as when they were 25. Maybe I shouldn't be so surprised. As far as the rookies, Logan Hall's been okay. Gedeki, very up and down. Otten's been okay. Steve, it's the offseason acquisitions, they haven't panned out.
Not yet. Injuries are injuries, and you know, sometimes that's bad luck. Sometimes that's just a guy who's injury prone and you banked on him and it didn't work. The Kyle Rudolph thing is really disturbing. Now he's going to get more of a chance now with Cam Brait having still having the issue now with the neck after that, what appeared to be a serious injury. We don't really know what happened there, but if Rudolph flops and he gets a chance, you know, it's just a bad look right now. But if the other guys can come back healthy, I guess Jason Light, if he were here, he would argue, hey, they were primarily brought in here to help us win a Super Bowl, and what happens right now isn't the biggest deal. But as Lee said a little bit earlier, enough with the January talk. You got to win right now.
You know, and the guy that a lot of Buck fans are circling the wagons are on in terms of his absence is Ndamukong Suh. Steve, we talked about it at the time. Hicks offers us a little bit of a different skill set, maybe a little better pass rusher than Sue, but we talked about Sue's incredible durability, and it's become a big factor, Steve. And whether we like it or not, it looks like Vita Vea plays better next to Ndamukong Suh. It's hard to argue against that. Nobody knows where Hicks is. Nobody knows when he's coming back. He wasn't that impactful, Steve, let's be honest. When he was out there for that brief period, I didn't notice him very much. Ndamukong Suh is missed around here, maybe not as much as Gronkowski. His absence is felt, Steve.
Yeah, I mean, we don't really know as far as the impact and how he rubbed off on guys or if it's something else. But on paper right now, the run defense isn't what it was. Even though it took a step back last year, it seems to have taken another step back, and they're just not closing out games the way they need to. And some of that could be the leadership that was lost. And, you know, the Sue crowd is always going to be there, Ira, unless they win the Super Bowl. The Sue crowd, Sue will have his people out there screaming and yelling. Ira, what did you make of Leftwich going there when he said, quote, I got to do a better job sort of scheming around Luke Gedeki, but more getting him a little bit of help, whether that's, sliding a center over more often to help him out a little bit, or to have a running back in on that side to help him out. He didn't make any excuses. He didn't flinch. He just said, I got to do a better job of helping Gedeki in those situations when he, you know, gets a one-on-one, and they just got to do better helping him a little bit.
Well, Steve, I'd read a lot more into it if it was Joe Gilbert standing there talking about it instead of Byron Leftwich. Now, obviously, Leftwich and Gilbert discuss these things. I want to know what the offensive line coach is going to do to maximize what Gedeki does well and minimizes his flaws. He is a rookie. He'll get better. He's not a bum, Steve. I don't think he's played terrible through 6 weeks. He's played some very good players. I mean, Chris Jones is about as good a D-tackle this side of Aaron Donald. I mean, he's tough. Derek Brown's no picnic this week in Charlotte. But there's ways, Steve. There's ways. Guys face this every week, and it doesn't have to be a rookie left guard. You know, if you got your offensive lineman with the most issues, you help him. So I want to hear more from Joe Gilbert than Leftwich. We'll see what happens on Sunday. But, Steve, 10 touchdowns in 6 weeks cannot be laid at the feet of a rookie left guard. I'm sorry. That's way too simplistic.
No, and if it was on him, he would have been out of there already. They know that it's not him. There's a lot of reasons the Bucs aren't winning these games. Hey, as Russell Gage said so nicely this week, and which we knew, he didn't talk about his fumble in Green Bay, but if he doesn't fumble that in Green Bay, and Gage did talk about his drop in the end zone on Sunday against the Steelers, you know, it's a very different conversation around the Bucs if they're 4-2 or 5-1. All these things would be swept under the rug, but instead we're stepping in it, if you will. All right, Lee, before we get to the picks, defense, what do you want to see from the defense? Who do you think needs a bounce back game? Or maybe that's not it. Maybe you're just looking for something else, stopping the run. What does the defense need to show you Sunday?
They don't need to show me a whole lot. Yeah, you know, I'd love to see Shaq wake up. I love Shaq, but he's been invisible since the second game, if I recall correctly. Is he sackless since the second game? Not to be confused with Kyle Moore, but I think he's sackless for a few games there. I would like to see Shaq make an appearance. To that point, I'd like to see more sacks. I'd always like to see more sacks. I want to see 10 sacks a game. That will never change. I always want to see that. But you know what? I've heard some people whining about the Bucs defense in Pittsburgh. I can't go there. Did they play perfect? No, of course not. They made some stupid mistakes. But you know what? In the NFL in 2025, when you have Mike Evans, when you have Tom Brady, when you have playoff Lenny, when you have Chris Godwin, if you can't score 20 points, that's not on the defense.
Shaq hasn't done much since week two. He had, you know, he's played pretty well, but he hasn't had the impact of a huge money Pro Bowler in a few weeks. I'm going to cut him a little bit of a pass because he did appear on the injury report as sick on Saturday, so maybe he was just off his game. But yeah, I mean, they need more than a two sack season from Shaq Barrett, and this is the weekend certainly to eat, as they like to say. When you've got a Panthers team that just got rid of two of its biggest offensive weapons this week in Robbie Anderson and the Christian McCaffrey deal. I mean, it's messy. Hopefully they get a lead and they let the pass rush go. I just still want to see him stop the run. I mean, it just hasn't been good enough. And if they're going to continue to say that that's the core of this defense, it all revolves around shutting down the run, and we've got all these Pro Bowlers running around, you got to stop the run, especially against a team like Carolina without its top running back. There's just no excuses this week. All right, Lee, I'm going to let you tee off here. Ari, you're going to go second, okay? And aside from just a pick, because I don't think any of us are insane enough to pick the Panthers, the worst offense in the National Football League before they lost these top two weapons. Give me your pick and what you think the game's going to look like.
I think the Bucs are finally going to break the 22-point plateau.
Woo!
Yeah, I think they're going to do it. I think Bowles has been riding his coaching staff, especially Leftwich, like, yeah, we need points. Get points. Find a way. I wouldn't be surprised if Bruce Arians was involved in some way in the game planning. I hope he is. Please, Bruce, give Byron your red pen, please. I think they break the 22-point plateau. I think they score 30 points. I think it's going to be 30-13 Bucks.
30-13, first blowout of the year. How about that?
I got to get back in the win column. That's what's got to happen.
You're 3-3. 3-3.
I'm not happy with that. I'm still shell shocked over Pittsburgh. I mean, you know, Lee's shell shocked because he had three sandwiches at the Primanti Brothers. But I'm shell shocked about the result, Steve. I still can't believe they lost to that team. Steve, I believe the Panthers have the worst record in the National Football League. Am I correct? At 1-5, I believe they are.
Yeah, so, nobody's winless, and the Panthers, before these trades, they had the worst offense in the National Football League before getting rid of McCaffrey and Anderson.
All right, so I'm going to say right up front that barring a pick six or something crazy where Brady throws a pick at the Bucs' 18-yard line, barring that, this team should not score more than 10 points against the Bucs on Sunday. Should not. And I don't want to see any kind of 27-20 final here, no matter who wins. So I'm going with the visitors. I just cannot believe that this team would lose back-to-back Pittsburgh, Carolina. Carolina's arguably the worst team in the league at this point. Go by the scoreboard. 24-10, Tampa. And Steve, if they do manage to stumble on Sunday, I'm not sure Leftwich is going to be allowed on the team plane. He might have to thumb a ride back to Tampa.
Thumb a ride. Yeah, the old school. Are you ever thumb a ride in Brooklyn, or is that not a city thing?
I tried to thumb a ride. Next thing, the guy dumped me under the Verrazano Bridge. So never again, Steve. Never.
Well, I'm going to keep it simple. I mean, it's just unthinkable. I know that you said earlier in the week almost felt like you'd have a problem picking the Bucs, that it wouldn't feel 100% confident, which was unthinkable. I'm glad you came around. And of course, you know, the Panthers are getting even weaker. They haven't broken 16 points in 3 weeks. They're just not a good football team. I was going to go 24-10 like you did, Ira, but you know what? I'm going to kick it up a notch and I'm going to go 31-10. I think the Bucs will focus that you won't see Blaine Gabbert late. If there's a big lead, I think they'll focus on trying to get as sharp as they can and use every snap they can to tighten up, even with a quick turnaround with the Ravens next week.
as sure as I am, and I'm pretty sure, that the visitors will prevail. I am equally confident that Mike Evans gets 8 to 10 targets, maybe more, on Sunday before they call the dogs off if it gets lopsided. Evans is going to get a bunch of targets. Otherwise, there'll be a total uproar at one buck place.
Yeah, he will. I mean, that's been the pattern for years. I think he'll probably get 6 to 8 in the first half. I mean, I do believe there'll be some sort of call off the dogs for some players as it gets later in the game with the quick turnaround coming on the Thursday night football game. But they will target Evans. You know how it goes. They try to overcorrect, and they should be able to do it successfully against this team. Now, Sage, I got to ask you this question. Two before we get out of here that I think are important. And we thank Big Storm Beer, official beer of the Ira Kaufman podcast, the Ira Kaufman beer, BillCurryFord.com. Start shopping there immediately. You can read about all the specials we talk about and all the great commitment they have to quality at Bill Curry Ford, BillCurryFord.com, C-U-R-R-I-E. And as we heard earlier, thanks to Florida's Elite Restoration, that's your first phone call. They're people you can trust, Ira. And I know you like trustworthy people. You're old school. I've got to ask you about the Saints. 2-5 right now, circling the drain. Jameis Winston, healthy, off the injury report, but did not play the other night. And they fall to 2-5, losing to Arizona on Thursday night football. It's a mess over there. They've got injuries, but nothing's working. Do you think they have a chance to turn this around?
I think it's fair to say that I don't think they have much faith in Jameis Winston going forward. If the guy's dressing, Steve, as he has, I believe, the past 2 weeks, and he can't get in the game, and suppose Dennis Allen, you know, next Wednesday says, well, we haven't decided between Dalton and Winston. Off that Dalton performance, Steve, I don't care how many yards the guy gained and how many touchdowns, those pick sixes decided the game, cost the Saints the game. And if you're not going to go to Jameis Winston this week, early in the week, and make the announcement, I don't think they think really that Winston's the guy going forward. I think he could have played maybe 2 weeks ago. They didn't even get him in the game in mop-up time. So, Steve, I think they're a mess. Their defense is not what it was. They were always a pretty darn good defensive team. 2-5, I think they're toast. They don't know what the heck to do with the quarterback situation. Obviously, Dalton's not the answer. Steve, Michael Thomas. Steve, this guy's a disaster. He was supposed to have a big bounce-back year. You know, 2018, the guy's the best receiver in football. Missed all of last season. He's ready. He's ready to go. And he's nowhere, Steve. If they didn't have Olave, who's a heck of a rookie wide receiver, there would be no reason to watch the Saints. I think they're done, Steve.
All right, Sage Lee, we are out of here. We got a Bucks game on Sunday. The unthinkable is not going to happen, although we said that last week. My last question to you, Ira, is do you believe, given the state of the Panthers, that we can really learn anything about the Bucks on Sunday? Now, I'm assuming they win the game, which we all are. But regardless of whether they win the game or not, do you think there's anything we can legitimately take away and learn about the Bucks, given the state of the Panthers?
I don't really think so, Steve, and I'll tell you why. And this is not directed towards Carolina players or Carolina coaches. It is not. But, Steve, when that game starts at 1 o'clock on Sunday, I dare say the owner of the Carolina Panthers doesn't want them to win that game. He doesn't want them to win that game. And that counts. That filters down. Now, again, coaches aren't going to look at it like that. Players aren't. They're fighting for survival. But they're in give-up mode, Steve. I mean, we've got clear signals. And DJ Moore ain't lasting much longer either. And he knows that. So go tear them apart and go to 4-3. And you got the Ravens coming in and take care of business. I can't even think, Steve, of the alternative. I can't even think about it. You think Buck Nation's upset now? Imagine losing to Pittsburgh and Carolina back-to-back. I mean, there'd be calls for Bowles' head right then and there.
Can't happen. It just cannot happen, Ira. Mainly because it's a division game. I mean, it's a huge game. Forget the opponent. It is a huge game. And then you look at, God forbid you lost this game, Atlanta, two of their next four games are against Carolina. then you're not even, you know, if Atlanta beats them up, you're not even controlling your own destiny at that point for until the end of the season when you face Atlanta again, you know, in a worse
case. Arthur Smith's doing a heck of a job. Thought the Falcons might be the worst team in the league when the season began. I was totally off base. They know what they are. They have an identity. The Bucs don't, Steve. The Falcons have an identity. They're going to run the football. Maybe that's because they got Marcus Mariota. But, you know, Mariota's doing a good job, Steve. They win the games they should. And I'll tell you what, that was one heck of an impressive win against the 49ers. And I don't care how beat up San Francisco is. They're one of the better teams in the NFC. And I don't think they were ever in the game. That was a heck of an impressive win for Atlanta.
Ira, I was trying to avoid bringing that up. I made it through the whole podcast. I think you predicted a shutout, that they lose 33-0 or something like that.
Thank you, Steve. Thank you for that memorable quip there.
Hey, you brought it up, Ira. Hey, I'm only rooting for the Falcons for a couple more weeks because I did bet them. The over-under on Atlanta was 4.5, and that was one of the bets that I took on the over. So I'm hanging in there.
Steve, by the way, let's not leave the podcast without reminding the listeners that when the Bucks go to Munich next month and the game's 9:30 in the morning, locally, you can chow down for breakfast with me at Big Storm on that date. It will be a special breakfast menu, right, Steve? I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, Big Storm Brewery in Clearwater, just south of Ulmerton Road on 49th Street. It's going to be a fun time. All the details and the menu are going to come out, so we're excited about that. All right, Ira, I'll let you get back to your diet and say goodbye to everybody.
The 4-3 Bucks will play the Baltimore Ravens at home on a Thursday night, and if the Bucks are not 4-3, and I don't care if they're 3-3-1. If that's the case, we got trouble right here in River City.